Heidelberg Catechism, question 125, provision for all your daily needs, asterisk. I bet you've never heard of an asterisk in the title before, but you will see why I have included that there. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, when God's name is hallowed, first petition of the Lord's Prayer, His kingdom will come. Second petition. When His kingdom comes, His will be done on earth as the angels do His will in heaven. But for His name to be hallowed, and for His kingdom to come, and for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, you need sustenance. Today, God will speak to you about this fourth request of the Lord's Prayer, a request for sustenance in order to do these other things. And our headings are 2, the nature of the fourth petition, and 2, the necessity of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Our goals are that as God's children through Jesus Christ, you will realize that God gives you what you need to do the work of building Christ's kingdom, and that you will learn to be thankful for what He gives to you. Realize that He gives it to you, be thankful for what He gives to you, and of course, to use what He gives to you. Question and answer 125. What does the fourth request mean? Together, give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither your work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. The nature of the petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, what is this daily bread, first of all, for which you are asking? Jesus used the common word bread because it was the most needful thing to the body. But the intention of the prayer is that God will provide everything you need for your body. The most important, bread, is used to symbolize everything you need. Just like in the Ten Commandments, you might read, you shall not murder, but it covers hate, it covers injuries to other people. The intention of the commandment is very broad. And so in the prayer, when you say, give us this daily bread, you mean give us everything we need for our health, for our life, for the work that you've called us to do. So this means you're asking God for good health, you're asking God for enough strength, you're asking God for a good job, you're asking God for sufficient clothing, you're asking God for a place to live. So you're asking God for bread, and you're asking God for butter as well, even though you don't say so. Now when you pray for your daily bread, number 2, you are recognizing that only God has the ability to give it to you. He is God alone, and you realize that you are not self-sufficient, because if you were, you didn't have to go to Him. And you realize that you don't own anything, and that you don't deserve anything. No man can truly say that he does. And this was the truth that Nebuchadnezzar had to realize when God made him live with wild animals. Remember that story? For 7 years. He came back and said, now I know that it is God, Jehovah God, who rules in heaven. It was God who gave Canaan to Israel and took it away from the Canaanites. He was pleased to do so. And you'll see this quite dramatically expressed next sermon from Joshua 11. See, you have stewardship of things, not ownership of things. Why is this important? Because this curbs your boastfulness. And this also curbs self-pity. On one hand, you say, it's because of what I have been able to do. And this curbs that. And then there are other people who say, this is all I've got. I don't have anything. You realize that God is the one who gives you, and He has the ability to give you what He's pleased to give you. Look at how this is described even in a beautiful picture in Psalm 104 about God even providing for the animals and for people as well. Verses 27 through 30 of Psalm 104. Together, these all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. It's up to God alone who has the ability. Then James 1:17, together. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Third, when you pray for your daily bread, you're recognizing that God is not just able, but God is willing to give it to you. After all, if God provides, as He says, for the animals, and He provides even the colors for the flowers and for the grass, won't He more provide, even more provide for you who are redeemed by the blood of His Son? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 25, together, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Who else could you go to if you wanted needful things? He's your Lord. He's the source of all things. And it's pictured for us in Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16, how we look to the Lord together. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. One of the Psalm ascents said, we look to you like a maidservant looks up to the hand of her mistress, who will give her what she's pleased to give her. That's our attitude in going, because we belong to Him. We are His servants. He's pleased to take care of us. Even more than being His servants, we are His sons through Jesus Christ. And when the Son goes to the Father and say, Father, give me a fish, He will not give you a snake. You ask for an egg, He will not give you a scorpion. You ask for bread, He will not give you a stone. He is able, and then He is willing to provide for you. Next, four, when you pray for your daily bread, you are praying for sufficient things. After all, you pray for your daily bread, you don't pray for your yearly bread. Daily is, and this word is very unique because it's used here, this is the only place it is used in the New Testament. So it's difficult to get the exact translation, the context you will have to use. It is better to translate this word sufficient. Jesus wants you to pray for sufficient or adequate amount of things you need day by day. Now, this is not saying you don't pray for more things. He's saying you're required to pray for sufficient things. But you have to guard yourself that you don't hoard. You don't say, Lord, give me more things that I can hoard for later in life. Saving is different from hoarding. Hoarding is what you don't need. It is beyond reasonable. Also, you pray for bread. You notice He didn't say, you have to pray for cake. Now, it's nice to have cake. And we had quite a bit of it yesterday, maybe too much. But you are required to pray for the basic necessities of life. Why is this so? You would think people would do this naturally. It's surprising how many times we forget to pray for the basic things. There might be times you might be even ashamed of forgetting to pray, as I've been, something's for my own family or for my own needs. And you think about other things and you forget to pray for the very basic things. This is one of the reasons we encourage people to pray every time they have a meal, to be able to thank God for that. Now it's true, God does not promise luxuries, except where luxuries help the promotion of the kingdom and help to promote your spiritual welfare. I know this is not what you hear on television, but God does not promise luxuries, except where it suits His purpose. Remember, I probably mentioned to some of you before, a famous preacher who argued that because Jesus had a pillow when He was in the boat at the back, that somehow that was a picture of great wealth. Or that Jesus, that they had a money box, and therefore He was rich because they had places to store their money. I always like to say, I have a bank account, but it doesn't mean there's a lot of money in there. He doesn't. And who doesn't have a pillow these days? You can get a pillow anywhere. That kind of reasoning of saying that God is bound to make us all wealthy, like asking for cake instead of bread, is not grounded upon the Scriptures. God may give it to you if He's pleased, but that's not what He has commanded us to pray for. 5. When you pray for daily bread, you are thinking covenantally. We're still looking at the nature of this request. Give us this daily bread. When you pray for daily bread, you are thinking covenantally. And you say, how are we doing that? Well, you don't pray, give me my daily bread. You notice Jesus was very particular. He said, give us this day our daily bread. So you're praying for God's people, rich and poor alike. Yes. You do have to pray for rich people, that God would continue to provide for them. It is the rich who often provide jobs for the poor, and therefore it is necessary to pray for them as well. God uses rich people, He uses poor people. But be careful not to think that this is a prayer for communism. This is not a prayer for communism, give us all equally. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, the poor you will always have among you. He was stating a fact. You can expect that. But this was not a prayer for communism, where everyone will have an equal amount of wealth. Or, really, in communism, you always have an equal amount of poverty. You never have everyone getting rich. Everyone simply becomes equally poor. To do that would be sin. Instead, share what you have of your own free will as God blesses you. Be generous with the poor. And if you are poor, don't be ashamed to receive from others. That's what God expects. That's how God intends for us to live. As a church, if somebody's poor, it's our responsibility to work together to help that person. If that person doesn't have food, they should never be short of food. And the basic necessities of life, because that's what God expects us to do. And that's the idea. When you're praying, give us this day our daily bread, you're saying, Lord, we are part of one big family. Provide for us. And as you bless us, we will bless others. Remember, you may not tell God, would you please provide food for this person who's starving when there's bread in your cupboard. You need to be able to be used by God to be a blessing to others as well. So that's the idea of community, covenant, that is implied in this request of the Lord's Prayer. Now, necessity of the petition, second main heading. We looked at the nature of it, now let's talk about the necessity of the petition. Now you pray, number one, for your needs because your survival depends upon it. You need God to provide for you and bless what you do and to bless what you have. Acts chapter 17, Paul in the Areopagus, and he's speaking. He says to the men together, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. All of these things come from God that you need. Life, breath, and all things. Therefore, you go. And this is what I've alluding to earlier. Sometimes it is, you can be thinking about the new iPod or the new car and things that are not necessities, but you pray more for those things and you forget to pray for the necessities of life. Take the time to think about this. How often have you prayed to God for the food you eat and the clothes you wear? Now, sometimes some of us will pray more for the food we eat and don't think much about the clothes we wear. But that's a blessing from God. A comfortable house to live in. Warmth when it's cold. Cool when it's hot. All of those are simple things that we need to remember as well. What a humbling thing this is, though, for those who have higher education, higher positions in life, those with exaggerated egos, so much for those who boast about earning their daily bread by the sweat of their brow or face, or they earn what they have by their skills and their smarts. It doesn't matter what you are, how great and important you think you might be, it is God who provides your basic needs. Those who boast in themselves are denying God His glory. You may have the highest PhD in all the research, skilled in everything, but you better thank God for what He has provided and pray that He will continue to provide your bread. Because He gives to all life and breath and all things. The most intelligent man can lose his mind if God says so. The strongest, the smartest person can be in an accident, can be injured very quickly, and all they have turns to nothing. Don't ever forget, regardless of your position. You know, we live in Canada. We found out this past week that Canada now is the most advanced economically in the world in terms of the middle class. Our income now is higher than any other country on the planet. And it's very easy to think, wow, we are the richest. You forget that it is God who gives you your daily needs. That's why you need to pray this. This is why this petition is so necessary. Forget your egos. Remember that you have what you have because of God's goodness to you. So pray before you go to work in the morning. You may have a car with 15 airbags in it. That's not going to keep you safe if God doesn't keep you safe. And when you come home, thank God for bringing you home safely. When you sit down to have a meal, pray that God would bless that meal. Pray that God will give you all your needs. That's what God expects. Number two, you need to pray this prayer because your service to God requires that you have these gifts. You need to pray for food because you need that food for strength. You have no means to accomplish God's tasks on earth, tasks that you must do because He is your creator, as Acts 17:25 says, that we just read, and that you need to do these tasks because God is your recreator, as you see in Romans 11:36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then Paul goes, present your bodies, present your lives as living sacrifices. You need Romans 1 through 11 to be able to do Romans 12. God calls you to do His work. God does not give you provisions simply for daily life, because He wants to be charitable. God has provided what He gives to you so you can do His work. And now you get the sense of why I have an asterisk in my title. Because it's not simply, Lord, I need these things. You know, children have those ways of needing things. They need ice cream and they need cake. And then you realize, no, you don't need that. What you need is a good celery stick and a piece of carrot. That's need. And we need, because you know that's good for their health and that will take care of them. And so with us, when we're praying for needs, don't laugh at the children, because you can do the same thing to God. Lord, you know how much I need this. And the Lord's thinking, no, you don't need that. You don't need that new car or that job that you think you need. I will provide for you what you need so you can do my work. By the way, you see how this takes away worries as well. Because you know God will give you what you need. We'll see about that later. Next, you pray for God to meet your needs because God commands you to pray. One of the reasons you pray is because God commands it. Does God know what you need before you ask? Absolutely. Yet, He requires that you ask for those things. When you ask, you're acknowledging that God is the source of all things, that God is good. And you're acknowledging that He is the God of the world in His greatness as well. Look at Acts chapter 14, verses 17 together. Nevertheless, He did not leave Himself without witness in that He did good. Gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Such is the greatness and the goodness of God. And that's why He wants us to pray. So we are recognizing that He's great and good. So if you don't pray this way, if you don't pray for God to meet your needs, you're robbing God of the glory. You are saying, I don't care if you are the great God and Creator. I don't care if you are the good God who has saved me. Question is, do you teach your children to pray for needful things? Real needful things. Now, it's true, it's okay for children to pray for things they like and they would like to have that might be helpful to them or that they might enjoy. But coming back to even more basic things, do you pray for things you truly need? Number four, when God answers your prayers, your faith is strengthened. That's what I started alluding to a minute ago. The more you see God's sovereign hand providing your needs for life and duty, the more you will trust Him. That's how God often works. You will see this later when God first goes into the land of Canaan. What did they do? First they destroyed Jericho, one city. Then they went against Ai and Bethel together. And then God defeated the Ai and Bethel together. That was a strengthening of their faith. Then later on there are five kings led by Adoni-Zedek of Jerusalem. He comes with these other four kings together against Israel. And God defeated them. You see the progression. And next you will see more than 10 kings come against them. And that was the way that God built up and strengthened their faith. And so with prayer, when you see God meets the needs of the small things, it strengthens your faith, and it strengthens your faith, and strengthens your faith. The more you see things being met, needs being met, your faith will be strengthened. Look at Psalm 62, verse 8. Together, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is refuge to us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. He's the one who strengthens us when we see His provision. And that's why He says, don't put your trust on riches or in robbery. So with strong faith, then you won't worry when you don't get what you prayed for. This is the other side, isn't it? Your faith is strengthened. You know God is real. You know God is true. So sometimes you don't get exactly what you pray for. That's what helps you with that time. And you say, okay, Lord, maybe you don't want me to get this job. Maybe you don't want me to get this position. Maybe you don't want me to get into this school. But I know you're real because I've seen how you have met my needs over and over again. You take what God provides in substance and strength and you use them. And you go to bed and put your head down on your pillow in peace and quiet at nights. You see what the psalmist says in Psalm 37 verse 16 together. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. You don't obsess about what others have or what you wish you had because you know God will give you what you need. You don't get hypertension or high blood pressure because the stock market goes up or down. You will say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You don't become depressed when you don't get the person you thought you were going to marry. The person you thought was the perfect one for you. You don't get depressed because you know God will give you what is good for you. And then number five. You pray for God to meet your needs because you must not put your trust in men. Those who hope politicians will provide for all aspects of their lives, from the womb to the tomb, as they say, are denying God's provision. You should not hear someone who truly believes in God say to the civil government, I have a right to housing. I have a right to food. That's putting your trust in a government to provide. Something, of course, that God does not tell the government to do, to provide housing and food, as some people like to say today. Look to God instead. Look at how this is described in Psalm 146, verses 3 and following. Together, do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day his plans perish. Happy is the man who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. What richness! Why would we look to man to provide what God has promised to provide? By the way, this is why compromise is not necessary. There's someone who might want to marry and they're so desperate to marry because they think, how am I going to be provided for? But your provision is not tied to any man. Look at what the Lord says. Don't trust in man. He dies and all his plans are gone. But God's plans are eternal. That's why you need to realize that your happiness and your provision is never tied to a man, a woman, or a child. Your happiness is tied to the Savior and to Him alone. Consider the prophet Jeremiah, who he echoed the same sentiment in an even stronger way in Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Together, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So, if someone doesn't find a spouse, they're still green in God's eyes. They're still nourished by God. If you don't find the right job or the right career that you'd like, you are still God's child. And your happiness is in Him. Your satisfaction is in Him. As long as you're drawing from Christ and He's meeting your needs, that's what God wants you to rest in, to put your trust in. And then the writer of Hebrews puts it in a positive way, encouraging his readers that they need to trust in God, rather than the negative way of Jeremiah. If you don't put your trust in God and you trust in man, you're cursed. But the Hebrew, the writer says it the other way as well. And both are necessary. Hebrews 13:5. Together, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I made a quote recently from R.C. Sproul, and he said that the cemetery is filled with people you think you could not live without. And you figure out you're able to live without people who are dead. You often hear that. I've heard that many times. How can I go on now? I have no purpose in life. My better half is gone, or my child is gone, and everything's gone. No. Christ is with you. Always. And therefore, you don't need to worry. Your needs are being met by Him. And if He's pleased to take someone away, it means you did not need that person. You might think you do. And it might sound good in a song, but you don't need anyone but Christ. Finally, number 6. You pray for God to meet your needs, and He does. You do His work as He's called you to do, and you will receive your believer's reward in heaven. This is one of the reasons you pray for your needs, so that you can do the work and receive your reward in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:58, together. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you labor for Him, He will not rob you. He will not tax you and say, I will take a portion of that. He will reward your labor as you have done. And that labor, you might see some of the blessings in this world, but you will surely see the blessing in the world to come. Let's summarize. You have seen the nature and the need of the fourth petition. God has the ability and willingness to meet your needs. God gives you gifts in order that you fulfill your duty to Him. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, when you make this petition, you are acknowledging that you are God's covenant child on account of Christ's work. And this relationship is the one by which He daily provides for you. You can't go to God and say, give me stuff, unless you're related to Him. You wouldn't do that to your neighbor. You wouldn't tolerate your neighbor's children coming and say, give me my inheritance, if they're not your child. And so with God, you must have that relationship in Jesus Christ first. You have to be adopted by Him. That's number one reason you should praise God for being His child, so you can go to Him and ask for the things you need. Second, ask your God for bread, not for manna. What do I mean by that? Well, manna fell from the sky, but bread comes through hard work. God's provision does not cancel out the work you have. Again, you will see this in fullness in a couple of weeks when God sends Joshua out to get some of these armies. And God says, I will give them to you. And then God says, okay, Joshua, go and fight. You still have to work. Don't expect to eat without working. If you don't work, you mustn't eat. That's the scriptures. God has ordained the means for providing. So children, and this is something you should remember, children, pray for help in your exams, and they're coming up soon, but study hard. Don't say, oh God, I didn't get time to study, I was too busy with other things. I was on my phone texting, but please forgive me and help me to remember things so I get an A in my test. No, study hard and pray for God's help. Third, the wicked get food through common grace, but they will be judged for their acceptance of God's gift, but their rejection of Him. Everyone enjoys the rain. Everyone enjoys the weather. Well, most people do, depending on the time of year. But everyone enjoys the sunshine. Everyone enjoys the beautiful flowers. And in a couple of weeks, next week and so on, you'll start to see the tulips and you'll say, oh, how beautiful. But here's the thing. If you don't appreciate what God has done, if you don't thank Him for it, if you're not His child, God will hold you accountable for what you did with what He's given to you. So don't be jealous also when wicked prosper. And be thankful even when you have, what you have might be less than what the wicked rich have. Know that God will provide for you what is good. For greediness will kill, as Proverbs 38 and 9 say. So be careful not to pray for more than you're able to handle. Pray for what you are able to handle. Pray for your daily bread, what you need day by day, not for hoarding. 5, if God gives you more than you need, share. Don't hoard. The tighter you squeeze, you know, you put honey in your hand and try to squeeze and keep all for yourself and see what happens. Honey has a way, like quicksilver in the old days. And I don't use that expression because now they tell you you'll die from it. But you put honey in your hand, you squeeze, and what happens? It starts to squeeze. Squirt out from different parts. And so it is with wealth. If you try to hold on or to the things that God's given to you, you will lose it. You will not enjoy it. Share. Open your hand. Share with others. God will provide more. And finally, a word for those who are not Christians. You can't use your gifts for the glory of God because the gifts you offer must come from a clean and renewed heart. Something only the Christian has. You will therefore have to give an account to God for how many gifts He's given to you and how you misuse them. But if you want that renewed heart that will bring you back in favor with God, ask Him for it. He promised to give you a new heart, a new record, a new life. And He will give that new heart, a new record, a new life to you because Jesus Christ gave Himself for sinners. And then you can be adopted. And then you too can use the gifts that God's given to you for His glory and for your eternal reward. Let us pray.